observations. Here we are with Kirk and with Scott. How are you, fellas?
Yes, good. Thank you.
Good. Kirk, before we begin, you said that you heard a speech by an Irish politician that critiqued American politics, I guess actually Obama. Criticized Obama. Yeah, what did she have to say that struck your interest?
Well, apparently he had made a speech. This is a woman. She's an independent member of Parliament from Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And what she said was he had made a speech, and I can't quote it, but I can give you a paraphrase of it, where he states the Irish children, if they choose the path of peace, that America will be the wind behind their sails, or the wind behind their wings.
Isn't that poetic?
Isn't it? Well, yeah, she turned around and said, you know, is this the biggest hypocrite in the world?
Yeah.
And she starts citing things.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And she goes, well, let's see now. We have, this is the man who increased the drone kill, more drones to kill more people over 200%. Here's a man that is just...
Yeah, and by the way, that's no small deal. I mean,
no, it's not.
George W. Bush became the greatest assassin in American history. You can't say the greatest murderer, because I think the greatest murderer in American history would probably be Woodrow Wilson with the what was called the Spanish flu. But, you know, that killed well over 100 million people worldwide, and it was a deliberate act. So that would be probably the greatest mass murderer in American history. Lincoln would be close with 600,000 casualties.
Yeah, probably a million dead, counting the wounds that never healed.
Those two would be one and two, I would think, in terms of American murderers. But in terms of assassins, where you target a specific individual, by the way, 100% civilians, not a single military combatant, not in an act of war. There's no act of war. Some American citizens, no judicial process, just... Yep, that guy I want us to go kill, and then we go kill. George W. Bush started that process, and Obama escalated it beyond comprehension. And it is a blight on the American character that most Americans don't even want to deal with. So first she says he's a hypocrite because of his escalation of drone murder. That's hardly the path of peace.
No, and then she reminded everyone that they'd just given, this is about on September the 5th, that's how long it takes to get any news to the American shore. She went on and on, but I mean, it's, the two that stood out was that one, and of course the millions of dollars they're given to Syrian jihadists to continue to fight the war, and then she cited all the previous things that we did.
Yeah, what's kind of amazing about that war, of course, is that war is a direct result of our invasion of Iraq, which was based on a pile of lies. You know, I happen to like one of the things that Trump said this week when Colin Powell's email were revealed by Russian intelligence, and he was critical of Clinton, but he just lambasted Trump. And Trump's response was, you know, I don't much care, nor should anyone care, what Colin Powell has to say. After that fiasco before the United Nations, when he falsely accused Saddam Hussein of harboring weapons of mass destruction to justify the unjustifiable, which was the invasion of Iraq. And, of course, Colin Powell and George W. Bush knew that it was all a charade when they went through it. But it was the invasion of Iraq that led to the Syrian war, and had it not led to the Syrian war, the CIA had already... established the plan for creating a civil war in Syria for the purpose of toppling Assad, having not learned what happens when you topple a government, you typically get a worse one. Now, that's what happened in Libya, of course. That's all on Obama. That's what happened in Iraq. That's what happened and is happening and will continue to happen. And Syria, it's what happened in Afghanistan. As bad as the Taliban was, the Karzai government's worse. It's what happened in Yemen. It's what happens every place that America tries to be a society builder. by destroying countries. Only to see this happen, and we don't seem to get it. Go ahead, Scott.
No, we did a malpractice all over South America. We replaced Allende because he had the audacity to mention the C word, the communist. And at the same time, you know, he just overthrew the landlords, who were basically dictators, and then they shot him down real quick. And they celebrated that. I think Kissinger went over to make a big speech the day after they.
Well, look what we did. Look what we did in Egypt.
Oh, yeah?
Where we turned our back on, no, listen, we shouldn't have been giving Mubarak $3 billion worth of weapons every year. He was a despicable dictator. And while I would never have worked to overthrow him, which America did, siding with the Muslim Brotherhood in the process, it's one thing to overtly overthrow what a secular dictator in the Islamic world, and it's another thing to prop that dictator up with all manner of weapons. And, of course, that's what we're doing with Mubarak. The thing we should have done is just stop supplying the Greek government with weapons, and then we're not guilty of what of the government that they choose, because it's for darn sure we can't impose a better one. But, of course, it was a man who got his engineering degree at the University of Southern California, Morsi, that went over and won the election, which is the thing that you would expect always to happen in the Islamic world. But we can't seem to figure that out, which is when Muslims are given the chance to vote.
They're the only ones.
Yeah, they're right. The overwhelming preponderance of them, having been told by the cleric in the mosque that if you don't vote for the most fundamentalist candidate, most of them, by the way, are clicking on umbrellas or on tanks or just images because they can't read. That Allah is going to burn your britches. So they universally elect the most fundamentalist Islamic government every chance they have to vote. And so Morsi was elected by the people, and we didn't like him very much. So we saw that he would be overthrown, and that was by al-Sisi. And al-Sisi is probably the most ruthless dictator now in the Islamic world. And we're supplying him with all manner of American weapons, and we even educated him, just like Morsi in the United States. So, yeah, we've not done a very good job of nation building.
You think it'd make a lot more sense to them? I mean, if you buy land and it has a house on it, and you knock down the house, you have to remove all the debris from that house that you didn't like in order for you to build something different.
Right.
It's no different with a government. If you don't, you can't tear it down and then just put something else up in the exact same spot. You're still using the same debris, the same rubble, the same garbage that you didn't like to begin with.
Yeah, but there's a bigger point there. Who gave you the right to tear it down?
Yeah, who gave you the right to tear it down? You know, who gave America the right to topple Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
Who gave America the right to put up the Shah and then to topple him? I mean, who appointed the commander-in-chief of the American military, God?
Guardian of the world.
Right. And, but even God doesn't do this.
No.
And he'd have every right to.
Yeah.
Time Magazine, right after Obama was elected, wrote an editorial. It was on the inside front cover of Time Magazine, and the conclusion was with Obama, it's as if he were God. The only difference is God's not obnoxious. But we certainly have assumed that we have the right to play God. So here's this Northern Ireland politician saying, you piece of crap hypocrite. Well, if you choose the path of peace, we'll be the wind under your wings. And all America has done, you know, I lost track about 4 years ago with 101 wars that America had initiated. In its first 400 years. I mean, it was since the colonists first invaded North America. It was one war every 4 years, and I think we're actually accelerating on that pace.
I have to say, though, as well, he also plagiarized the Bette Midler song And I mean, if we're doing that,
of course,
like if we're stooping to that level, I mean, there's no level we won't stoop to at this point.
That's just too sappy a song for you.
I like that song.
I do too. Yeah, I actually like the song. My wife loves the song. It makes my wife happy. I like the song too. But you know, we are the world's biggest hypocrites. We think of ourselves as the peacemakers. We think of ourselves as the greatest nation. I mean, the choice, you know, that Trump is running on, make America great again. America never was great.
Misnomer, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it never was great. Now, it has been powerful, but when it was powerful, it what it did was counterproductive. Were we great in World War II when we made Europe worse than we found it?
Well, we also lost 600,000 people in that war that didn't have to be.
No.
So Roosevelt probably in second place. Well, consider two other quick things.
Yes.
Well, Woodrow Wilson's motive, according to the historians, to do what he did.
You're talking about the Spanish flu, which was, yeah, and just for our listeners that haven't heard every program, what happened here is that that there were foreign interests that appeared to have infected mounted troops along the Mexican border, American troops along the Mexican border. In the right after Woodrow Wilson was inaugurated president, that had a 90% kill rate both of the horses and the and their mounts, and Woodrow Wilson dispatched scientists to determine what it was that had killed them, and it appears to have been an early form of anthrax. And he then took it, was able to synthesize it, in other words, determine what it was, and replicate it. And he brought it back to a U.S. Army recruiting center in Kansas. I'm going by memory here, so and you study this one that I have. All right, so if I've missed something, you know, correct me here. But he took it back to this military recruiting center in Kansas because Americans are dopes. You know, when even though Woodrow Wilson conspired with Winston Churchill on behalf of J.P. Morgan to deliberately have the Lusitania sunk to justify America engaging in that miserable, immoral war so that we could finance and supply weapons to Great Britain so that Great Britain wouldn't lose, go bankrupt, and welch on the debts to J.P. Morgan. We had the Lusitania sunk, and the moment that it was sunk, Americans by the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, signed up waving the flag of, I want to go off and kill some Germans.
Kill people.
Yeah, go kill people. I want to go kill some of those damn Germans.
Yeah.
And so they went to the single largest recruiting center at the time was in Kansas, and that's where Woodrow Wilson brought the anthrax virus back, and he infected Americans there.
Yeah,
and then sent them to Europe and around the world, and the best guess is well over 100 million people died as a result of his New World Order experiment, where he wanted to fundamentally change world power, which could only be done by weakening the existing system, and killing a couple 100 million people will get that done for you. And he made a speech about what he was trying to achieve. It's just that he never admitted, although it's now reasonably conclusive, that it was a deliberate chemical attack on the world.
Well, what I researched also, in the motivation, his major motivation was to redraw the map of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And they provided him an opportunity to do it. And they told him to
empower for the benefit of America.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember this is the backdrop is, you know, he was back to 1913, we got a central bank, and we're all one world government inclined, United Nations, not the United Nations, but League of Nations.
And we have a federal tax system now to rape the American, the productive Americans.
Right.
Right. So we have the central bank for inflation and to finance wars. Right. And then the federal income tax, 1913 on both cases, both Woodrow Wilson, both clandestine.
If you can control the capital, you can control all the business in a country.
That's what he did.
But that's what got him. And they told him that they could do this, and there'd be no more than 20 million dead. I mean, and still.
He still was
20 million is not a big number.
I mean, it turned out to be 10 times that.
Oh, yeah. It really did. So you have that as a backdrop. That's us defining what the world is supposed to be like according to to us. And then you go to something like Egypt, and we decide how they're going to do. And the upshot now, you know, they're begging people to please come just to look at the pyramids. They have no income.
Of course.
We don't prop them up. They got nothing.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do it. But they said, well, now the motive here is we have to prop these
people up. Well, by the way, when was the Mother Muslim Brotherhood running the country? Saudi Arabia was propping them up. And now it's just the United States because Saudi Arabia doesn't want to have anything to do with Sisi.
Yeah.
Although Sisi is a fundamentalist Muslim. And by the way, the Christians are actually, the Copt Christians are in far worse condition as are women under Sisi than they were under Morsi. And of course, Morsi, they were infinitely worse off, not infinitely, but many, many magnitudes worse off than they were under Mubarak.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Islam doesn't do anything that would be considered productive. So even in a country like Egypt, the only thing that they can do that would generate any national economic interest is to come and look what happened here before we screwed this place up.
Yeah, that's a good point. But we're told we have to prop them up because if we don't give them weapons and we don't give them this stuff, then the Russians will.
Oh, well, that would be great. You know that we played that game before. The Russians were their primary arms supplier,
yes.
And you know I do think that America plays this game because it wants to be the arms supplier of the world. And the reason it wants to be the arms supplier of the world is that the weapons now are so complicated that the maintenance of these weapons is the single biggest cost associated with them.
And so it's like
and
the
so,
razor, give them the razor so we can sell them the razor blade.
That is correct. But you don't have to shave, once you give a country such that it's now dependent upon your weapons, you have ultimate control of them in today's world. That is the unspoken American doctrine. It's why we sell more weapons than the rest of the world combined, and why we sell, in the case of, for example, of Israel's enemies. The Abominator just announced, you know, that he has a 10-year deal that if Israel never asks for any more military hardware with all sorts of strings attached that benefit the United States, that he'll give them $3 billion worth of hardware, but they can't use any of that money to buy Israeli manufactured or designed military equipment, only American, of which America has absolute control. For example, they have to buy F-35s that the American Air Force doesn't even want. And the planes stop flying if America says, yeah, we don't like what you're doing today. I know you bought them. I know they're yours, but it doesn't matter. They're try to start them. Try to fly them without us. Now, I'm quite certain that if there were a major confrontation now between Egypt and Israel, or Saudi Arabia and Israel, maybe even Jordan and Israel, America would ground whatever aircraft it could and make Israel essentially defenseless.
Wow.
That's what we have
become.
Yeah. You know, and what's the most, there are some aspects of this that I can appreciate. It would be, well, I don't have a problem and working with Israel for Israel's defense. For example, America and Israel jointly have developed much of the anti-missile shield Israel has to use a lot. America really hasn't had to use it. We call it Patriot missile in the United States. Those kind of things make a lot of sense. And again, I'm prejudiced. I have a great love for Israel, not so much for their government, and certainly not for the fundamentalist religious Jews. But the country and overall the race of people I have a fond spot for. But the rest of American arms sales and the rest of American armed intervention, it's repulsive. It's why God only calls out one nation. You know, in the end days, as we turned the corner and moved into the modern era, Yahweh doesn't say a thing about Nazi Germany, but he's got a lot to say about America, and it's all bad. That's why, because we are the manipulator that's ultimately going to be the reason for the Magog War. We will have provided virtually all of the weapons, and we will have created the environment of which it becomes inevitable, and we're the country that's most responsible for thinning Israel at the waist, which makes Israel completely vulnerable. And so God says, well.
Wow.
So that is where we are, and you you look at the American politicians who are vying for public office, and you would definitely have bad and worse. I'm not sure at this point that that there's anyone.
Well, we can't even be like the little Irish lady lady in Ireland. It's who had enough guts to stand up in front of Parliament and said, "Look, you guys are a bunch of jerks."
Yeah,
this about how Obama. All we know is Obama and she's having, or his wife is having breakfast with the children at the same time. All, they're doing all this and telling us about our children. Who are you, nuts?
Yeah, it's just like the only person I thought had any credibility was Gary Johnson but his, he whines to be part of the debates, finally gets a quasi-debate appearance. National television, he's now following the big boys, and big girls. And the first question is about Aleppo, and he says, what is Aleppo? They say, you're kidding, right? I mean,
you have to know your material.
And,
you lose your credibility.
If you don't know what Aleppo is, for God's sake, don't run for public office.
Yeah.
Now, if he had said, why are you asking me about Aleppo?
Yeah.
Is Aleppo in the United States? Is Aleppo a serious trading partner with the United States? Do we have any issue in America with Aleppo? Is Aleppo in any way a threat to American security? Is Aleppo an area of any interest in terms of the well-being of America? Why are you asking me about Aleppo? Now, if you're telling me that because of America lied to invade Iraq and therefore created the military of the Shias in Iraq, which bludgeoned the Sunnis, and that the Sunnis took the awakening program that George Bush conceived and the weapons to defend themselves, and that they became the Islamic State, and that collectively the Islamic State thrashed the Shia military that America had had founded and then began to invade Syria. And all the while, al-Nusra, which is a fundamentalist Islamic organization that is using American weapons funneled through Qatar, and that the American response to that is to have leveled the city so that the largest city in Syria is no more, as a direct result of United States stupidity, immorality, mass murder, then I would say, you ought not vote for either political party that supported any of these wars.
Right.
That's what the hell Aleppo means to me. What does it mean to you? You know, it's interesting that the United States announced the Obama administration, the Obaminator, announced just yesterday that in 2017, you know, his first year of Muslim refugees, I think it was 15,000, then it quickly escalated to 50, and then quietly to 85,000 that we Muslims that we agreed to bring in, and now it's 115.
Yeah, that's what I got.
And you know, that's what's interesting is that the minority of them are from Syria. In fact, even into Europe, the minority are Syrian. It's the other countries we broke. It's Libya.
Yeah.
It's Afghanistan. That it's these other countries we broke. Now, in the case of the American total, Myanmar. Got a civil war going there. And, of course, the U.S. president at the time that he was, and that's the largest cross-section for us, sitting there hugging the leader that the U.S. conspired to put in place there, who obviously is doing nothing to resolve the problem because of the fact that that's the largest source of refugees into America. You know, I made a comment talking with IQ Arasuli over a year ago, and it's what I wrote in my book now almost 15 years ago called Tea with Terrorists. The only way that you can deal with the onslaught of Islamic terrorism is to disengage and to quarantine, the opposite of what America is doing. If you supply weapons, you make it worse. If you overthrow governments, you make it worse. If you bomb them, you make it worse. And we've seen this time and time again. If you go for regime change, you make it worse. There's only one thing that will work. A, stop buying any product, and most especially oil, from any Islamic country. Cold turkey, just stop, period. America has more than ample energy reserves. We actually have the largest oil and gas reserves in the world.
Yes.
Well, of course, we have the largest coal reserves in the world. Right.
Yeah.
So America has, and America, in terms of a country with rivers, which can be create hydroelectric power, there's no nation on earth that has more hydroelectric capability than America.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we should be foremost on nuclear power. So there's no shortage of means to create energy in America. You just have to stop funding Islamic terrorism by buying their oil. And number two, you have to stop selling them weapons. And number three, you need to stop invading their countries. And number four, you need to stop them coming in from America. And number five, you need to shut down all the mosques. You need to quarantine the country from Islam. America had no problem with this Constitution hunting down and imprisoning American Nazis in World War II. And you might say, well, a Nazi was a political regime. No, not according to Mein Kampf. It was a religion. And if you look at Islam, according to Muhammad, it was a political and military scheme. It was an economic scheme, a criminal enterprise. It was no different, really, than Genghis Khan's scheme. If we don't make Islam illegal in the United States, shut down the mosques, stop allowing any Muslim to immigrate into America, stop selling Muslim nations weapons, stop buying their oil, stop invading their countries, we're going to continue to be destroyed by Islamic terrorism. The world will be. But you could stop it in a heartbeat if you just isolated them.
Mm-hmm.
Just isolate them. What are they going to do? Go after one another with sticks and stones? I don't think so.